Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. It's just another beautiful day, another beautiful Sunday as we head into this new month of April. It's hard to believe that we are staring down the very end of March and all but a third of this year is already gone. It is going so quickly. But we got some good things that's coming up for you. I just want to remind you through Vital Ministries that in order for us to survive, it takes donations. And if the impelled, the Holy Spirit moves you in such a way to do a donation, we at Vital Ministries would very much appreciate that. You can go to our website at vitalministries.org and check out our site. You can donate right online. We are a 501, so it is a tax write-off for your donation. But if you can, we would love for you to help us out. That would be just fantastic and be a blessing for us as well. But also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week, both men and women. We have 5 different writers for the men that go out every day. Just another inspirational word, a moment of just reflection of how God can work in your life. And also, too, we send them out, too, as for the women. My wife writes for that as well. It's just a great opportunity to get just that extra charge, that extra plug in your everyday. So just some good things to reflect on that as well, just to encourage you. But it's hard to believe we are just 3 weeks away from Easter. It's all but here, one of the 2 highest days of church attendance in America. Most Americans consider Easter as a religious holiday, but fewer correctly identify its meaning. What I mean by that is that America identifies the resurrection of Jesus as an underlying memory. Something as far as a memory or for a meaning, they just, some believe that that's what it's all about, but Easter has become, in my mind, and as we look out more about, and these are not negative things, but it's in all the perspective. It's become more about the Easter bunny, the Peeps, marshmallow candies, or a peanut butter or chocolate eggs. All this is fun and good, but has no direct meaning to the resurrection of Jesus and what he did. If you're interested in the deeper meaning of Easter, the History Channel is running a 4-week series on Jesus, his life. And it comes again this Monday night at 7 p.m. on cable TV. It's the second week of a 4-part series, and it is biblically based. I watched it last Monday night, folks, and I encourage you, again, that's on the History Channel at 7 o'clock on Monday night. It is really, really good. I just encourage you. It looks at the life of Christ. And it's always important for us this time to remember what Jesus did in his life, his death, and in his resurrection. It gives us hope in our own lives and also, too, gives us hope in our faith. And I've experienced that in my recent return to Israel, a time of remembrance. With that being said, last week we talked about Peter's declaration, a time where Jesus took his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, a location of 27 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. It's the base of Mount Hermon, the beginning of the Jordan River. It's the Golan Heights, where today it has become a hotspot for the Israeli people and its army. For Peter and the other disciples, it was a location to remember that what Jesus had reminded them about who he was, and that Peter gives a declaration of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And upon Peter and the others that the church would be built, and the powers of hell would not stand against the church itself. But there's also a part 2 of that speaking that Jesus did with his disciples. And if you have your Bibles today, again, we want to thank you for listening to 104.9 FM on your radio dial. Maybe you're traveling down the highway and you're tuned us in. We're thankful that you're listening to us today. Or maybe you're at home just simply listening. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 21. Or maybe you're on your way to church this morning and you've tuned us in. I just want to thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Sunday. But in this portion of Scripture, Jesus predicts his death for the first time, and he does it again in Matthew 17, 22, and again in Matthew 21. For us today, the cross is a symbol of love and sacrifice. But in the day of Jesus, it represented the most horrific death imaginable to man. Only people who were not Roman citizens in the day of Roman rule would not be crucified. But let's jump into the Bible this morning and get our teaching about what we're going to look at today with our special teaching this morning, as I've called it out to be saint or a stumbling block. And my point number one this morning is the prediction. But let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, starting with verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Now, Jesus knows and tells all about this prediction. An event of prediction means that it's something that is predicted or that it might come forth. And we often hear predictions often is on weather, talks about the prediction of what might come. Even a meteorologist will give a prediction, and generally speaking, they're right 55% of the time. Seldom do we hear predictions or prophecy about a person's life. And also, too, folks, we look at it, the other predictions, and sometimes as doctors, we can give predictions to some degree of somebody who's dealing with a chronic illness or cancer or something that might take that person's life. It's an assessment of a guest based on occurrences or facts that have happened within medicine itself. But here we see Jesus predicting his death and resurrecting on the third day after. Can you imagine how the disciples were taking it in after leaving Caesarea Philippi? They would return to Capernaum for a period of time and then head for Jerusalem for the Passover. That he would suffer terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, they probably thought to themselves, what terrible things? Why would they kill him? Look at all the good that Jesus was doing miracles of healing the sick, helping the blind to see, feeding the thousands of people, and casting out demons. Why would somebody ever want to kill Jesus? But folks, this is an absolute confusion that I believe that was going on in the minds of the disciples. And on top of it, how would they handle that situation? And how could he be raised from the dead? They didn't understand, and I don't think we could begin to understand the moment ourselves if we had been in that actual time of what Jesus was describing. How could someone bring themselves back to life? Now, there was a man by the name of Smith and Wigglesworth who lived from 1859 to 1947. He was a revivalist preacher, a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God did remarkable things in his ministry. It was said that he had a miraculous ministry, and that that through the power of the Holy Spirit raised 14 people from the dead. It was said that his ministry bared four principles. This is the guiding thing that he said that gave him the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing he said was that he read the Word of God. The second thing, be consumed by the Word of God, uplifting, and so that it was consuming you. Number three, believe in the Word of God. And number four, act on the Word of God. This man was full of fire and the Holy Spirit and full of the Word of God. Now, Jesus is the Word of God, as we know from the book of John. And I want to take us there this morning. Just hold on to Matthew chapter 16. But I want to go to 1 John. I want to read just the first five verses about Jesus being the Word of God. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. See, that's the Word of God. That's the power of the Word of God itself. And that's what Jesus had. He had the Word of God that was in him because he was truly God. So he was able to truly give a prediction of his life, give a prophetic word that was going to happen, soon to happen in the future. But let's not hold there this morning. Let's keep moving on as we move to point number two, which I call the reprimand. And I want to show us the reprimand in Matthew 16, verse 22. But Peter took him aside, Jesus, and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. What do you think was Peter's mistake here? He was thinking like a human. Most people want to escape or run from suffering, especially death. We all want the prize and not to go through the cost that it takes to get to the prize. Oftentimes, my heart will go out to people who have received a word that they have Alzheimer's or dementia. It's a grueling, slow death where your brain slowly shuts down and your body goes and shuts down itself. Early on, you will know it, and that it will be ultimate death. But you have to travel that road. It's a grueling road. It's a road of sacrifice. I have a man who I know whose wife has recently come down with Alzheimer's, and no longer does she recognize him or does she know him. Every day, he goes out to an extended care facility and goes to her room. People will tell me he takes her out of her room every morning or every day in the afternoon and gets her up and sits by the front door looking outside with her. Most of the time, this man simply sits and holds her hand, and she absolutely does not know who he is. What a beautiful sight of the marriage covenant, now until death. When I saw this man, I shook his hand, and I told him he truly exemplified the marriage vow of love. He not only spoke about love, but he lived love. See, folks, I think Peter loved Jesus to the point that he lost why Jesus came to this earth. Jesus truly came to suffer, to die, and to live again after 3 days, but it took suffering in the midst of his journey. Peter says, heaven forbid, no way will this happen. Peter was working out of his own flesh. He hadn't been filled by the Holy Spirit yet. Any one of us could have done, in my mind, have done the same thing and living out the moment that Peter did. Peter would again let his flesh get in the way of the Garden of Gethsemane. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, and it says, do we see Peter being motivated in the flesh? He goes to Gethsemane, packing a sword, and cuts off a man's ear. One of the high priests, one of the slaves here. He's ready for the fight to the death, and at this moment, but only hours away, he would deny even know who Jesus was. See, folks, working out of the flesh will cause you to do what I call stupid things. You will speak without thinking. I don't know about you, but I have had too many experiences, too many stories to share about working out of my own flesh, speaking without thinking. My dad always reminds me of this. He constantly reminds me, he says, Mike, in the midst of decisions or things that you might want to say, give it 24 hours. He'll tell me to sleep on it before acting on it. Basically, Mike, get out of your flesh, get your flesh out of the way. What a great word for us this morning to be reminded about how easy it is to go into our flesh and to say things without thinking. And that is exactly what was going on with Peter. He was speaking without thinking. Which brings me to point number 3, the stumbling block. So let's go back to Matthew 16 and look at verse 23. It says this, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from the human point of view and not from God's. We just see Peter. See, folks, Peter simply has enough faith to confess that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, but he didn't have enough faith to believe that it was right for Jesus to suffer and die. Jesus hits Peter with a harsh word, calls Peter literally Satan. What a blow to his credentials, to his inward manhood, to be called such a thing. But see, Jesus, I believe, wasn't trying to hurt Peter in his character, but he had to respond in such a way to get Peter to wake back up, to see the bigger picture. Hey, Peter, don't let Satan have control of your mind. See with kingdom eyes and not with earthly eyes. As Christians, that's what we have. Sometimes we have a wake-up call. And I think it's the world at times that we look at, sometimes we see Satan or the devil through His eyes. And we do that, we can even do that in the midst of being Christians. We become critical, selfish, hypocritical. We point fingers and lash out and even curse. Folks, I got to be honest, I've done all of these things, acting out more like Satan as opposed to Jesus. See, this past week we had a man who had spoke some unkind words to my wife. He said some things that he shouldn't, and she told me about it. And I tell you what, in the moment when she told me about it, man, I was absolutely upset. Folks, I was ripped. I was in my flesh, and I wanted to go over to this person's home and knock on the door. But again, I had some words from my father, and my dad said this. He said, "Mike, I'm going to give you some good advice." He says, "Be kind, be quiet, and let God handle it." Dad, that was some good advice, and I really appreciate that you speak continually in my life and to help me get redirected. That's what Jesus was doing. He's redirecting Peter to get out of his own flesh, but to get in and see things through kingdom eyes. My wife constantly reminds me, Mike, of the spiritual authority that God has given me. Watch what you say. Watch how you act. People are watching you. Man, I don't know about you folks, but sometimes I hate it when she's so absolutely right. Jesus lets it go with Peter here. He doesn't beat him up with it, but he continues to finish his message. With our closing point this morning is point number 4, live like a saint. And I want to show you that, what that means. See, Jesus responds to not only his men, but also to Peter as well. He says to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And do what you do to benefit, what benefit is for you to gain the whole world, but to lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels and the glory of the Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Man, what a word that Jesus was truly giving his men at the closing of this portion of Scripture while he was at Caesarea Philippi. See, Jesus tells his disciples to turn from their selfish ways, to give themselves wholly to Christ, and to share his shame and in his death. See, suffering always leads to glory, folks. But how do we do this? Because it's not easy in the midst of the moments and when we're dealing with suffering, when we're dealing with the struggles in our lives. And Jesus clearly points those things out when he tells the disciples in ways to follow him. See, the first thing he does, he says, take up your cross and follow me. This means to die in order to follow Jesus. This is called dying to self. Jesus wasn't mean for the disciples. He was meaning it literally. But for us today, that is not what he's saying. He's saying dying to us. Dying to our own selves. It's called absolute surrender. Here are some questions that might pertain to dying to yourself that you might be even asking yourself and what it means in order to follow Jesus. And some of those ways of following Jesus is sometimes we lose some of our closest friends. In order to be healthy, in order to go to the spiritual impact that God is calling us to do, are you willing to lose friendships in order to have a kingdom mind? Also, another way of following Jesus, it means that you might be alienated from your own family because you follow Christ. I have spoken to many people who have said that truly has happened in their family. Their family gets upset because now they're Christians. They follow Jesus. You have to make a choice. That's not an easy choice. It doesn't mean that you lose love for them, but it means that sometimes alienation might come from being a follower of Christ. Also, following Jesus might mean a loss of your reputation. What I mean by that is that sometimes folks will take the reputation of who they are is greater than the reputation that they would have in Christ, losing yourself in order to follow Him. It also might mean for some losing your job. Maybe it's being in a workplace that is not the place that God truly wants you to be. Maybe He's moving you to a new location, moving you to a place where you can do greater ministry for Him. Folks, not always doing ministry means that going out and being a pastor or being a missionary. It means simply loving Jesus. It also, for some, it might be losing your life. And folks, there are people even today, even in the world as I'm very speaking right now, will lose their life truly for following Jesus. See, the real question here, folks, is, are you willing? Being a disciple of Christ will require a price of your life. The second thing that Jesus says this, are you willing to give up your life? That means, what drives you? Think of Abraham. God calls him to pick up and leave Haran, a city in which he was known. It was prosperity for him, a place that was safe, a safe haven for what was comfortable in his life, a place of where his family lived. But see, God calls him out. See, folks, a lot of times in discipleship, people are afraid of what they might lose instead of what they might gain. And that's what God calls us. He wants us to lose ourselves in order to follow Him. That is true discipleship. And again, I just want to reiterate, folks, not everyone is called to be a missionary. Not everyone is called to be a pastor or go into some sort of ministry. The greatest ministry amongst most people is around you and how you do life. It's how you live within your family, of how you live within your doing work. Sometimes that's the greatest mission field that's around, folks. And oftentimes people in ministry can't get in those places, but you can. And God has called you to live out being a disciple at the place of where you work. The other one is this might be is giving up my life puts Christ in control. Realizing that life isn't about me, but it's about living for Jesus. Man, that's tough because a lot of times we want to be self-absorbed, thinking about what goes on in our own mind and what goes on with our own heart. It becomes about us instead of about other people. The third thing that Jesus says, is anything worth losing your soul? What areas that we can lose our soul oftentimes can come from when we offer greater advantages to money, fame, pleasure, power, prestige. To lose your soul means to die without having right relationship with Jesus and spending eternity in hell. Are you willing to give up everything to be a follower of Christ? What, folks, is your true gain? See, if a person rejects Jesus and becomes the richest, most powerful person on earth, what, in fact, will be the gain? He will gain all of the world, but he will lose his soul in the process. Sooner or later, folks, all things pass away. Folks, I got to be honest with you, and I've done many times when people pass away. And in those moments, you go to the gravesite, the place of internment. And folks, I got to be honest with you, not once have I ever seen a Wells, and I'm not trying to be funny here, never have I seen a Wells Fargo truck follow the hearse. No money is ever taken. No material things are ever put into a gravesite. It's again, you can gain the world but lose your soul. That's a sobering thought. That's a thought that we all have to entertain in our mind because it becomes following of a follower of Christ comes with a price. And that's what Jesus was wanting to remind his men. Not only that he was, as Jesus proclaims, that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, but folks, to follow Jesus comes with a price. Folks, the day of reckoning, this is what it says. Folks, the day of reckoning will come to us all. In verse 27, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of the Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. So we come back to the very beginning of what we discussed this morning. Are you a saint or are you simply a stumbling block? Are you ready to be a follower of Christ and die to yourself? We all have that question to answer within our own heart, our own mind, and our own soul. See, God totally reminded the Israelite people. He wanted them to be consumed by everything about their whole being, everything that was about them. When Abraham went to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. He goes and tells God, I am here. It isn't literally in the physical, but what was being truly said is that as our friend, our guide over in Israel said, that Abraham came with all of him. His mind, his soul, his spirit. He said he was literally telling God, I'm all here. Not just a portion, but I'm all here. And I'm willing to do what you've called me to do, even though I love my son so much, Isaac, that I'm willing, if you ask me to sacrifice him, I will. But see, God was just testing Abraham in his faith, wanting to know, to what level did Abraham love God? Did he love God even more than he loved his son? See, that's the place where Jesus was at with his disciples. Do you love me more than life itself? That is the question for all of us. Not literally for us, but to die to ourselves. Maybe you're wrestling with that question this morning. Maybe you're wrestling with it to the point to where you truly want to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life. Will you pray with me? Jesus, again, we want to thank you for this day, the opportunity to get and speak and look at the words that you spoke to your disciples. A way in which you asked them, this is what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. My disciples. And maybe somebody out there this morning listening has never truly asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior. Today is the day. Simply pray, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. I ask you into my life. I repent of my sins. I believe that you are the Savior of my life. We thank you. Lord, we know there's a cost to discipleship. I pray that we're willing to step into those moments and follow our hearts towards you. In your name I pray. Amen. Again, folks, I want to thank you for listening. 3 more weeks yet. We will stay on this series as we follow the road to the cross. Again, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.